Welcome to this audio introduction for Museum of Austerity, produced by Trial and Error Studio, English Touring Theatre, and the National Theatre Immersive Storytelling Studio. The following introduction includes information about Museum of Austerity, the different accessibility options for how to experience it, the physical environment it's presented in, description of the imagery within the exhibition, which will also be embedded in the exhibition experience itself, and summaries of the visual text sighted audiences will encounter. The full text is available in the Museum of Austerity Complete Text Guide via the Visitor Guide on Kampnagel Theatre's website. The experience takes place in a single room and tells the personal stories of 9 disabled benefit claimants who died between 2010 and 2020. The exhibition experience lasts approximately 35 minutes without audio description and 40 minutes with through audio description. Audiences are free to leave at any time. If you are wearing a headset and you wish for it to be removed so you can leave, you can raise an arm and a host will come to assist you. The Museum of Austerity is installed in K4 at Kampnagel Theatre. The theatre foyer is a large hall with high ceilings and many steel columns that recall the building's history as an ironworks for the production of ship cranes. On arriving at the Kampnagel, if you make yourself known to a staff member, you will be offered assistance to K4. Outside K4, there is a sign saying Museum of Austerity. When you enter K4, there is a short walk straight ahead of 7.5 meters before you reach the Museum of Austerity waiting area. On the right-hand side, in the waiting area, there are 2 sofas and a coffee table. Above the sofas is a large sign saying Museum of Austerity. On the wall opposite the sofas is a wall-mounted timeline. The timeline covers key changes in the UK benefit system from 29 to 2023, with particular reference to the impact on disabled people. At the 2010 point on the timeline, there is a large board that details the story of Stephen Carey, as told by his father Peter. You can find this in the Museum of Austerity full text guide. To the left of the timeline is an extensive visitor information board detailing content warnings, what to expect in the exhibition, helplines to contact in the event of feeling distressed by the material, access options, and participation and feedback opportunities. This content is also available in the Museum of Austerity full text guide. Audiences should be aware that the recommended age for this exhibition is 18 plus. The exhibition includes holographic depictions of death and mental distress, audio references to death, including suicide, relating to interactions with the benefit system, domestic violence, alcoholism, self-harm, eating disorders, mental distress, dementia. Museum of Austerity tells the stories of 9 benefit claimants. One of these stories is presented in written form, the other 8 in audio, each story narrated by a close family member. Museum of Austerity is a mixed reality exhibition where real and virtual worlds are merged. Sighted audiences can experience the museum wearing a HoloLens 2 headset, which is a pair of mixed reality smart glasses that are worn on the audience's head along with earphones. The imagery accompanying the narratives has been created using volumetric capture techniques, which produce 3-dimensional holographic representations of the deceased people whose stories are told. These holographic people appear close to you as 3-dimensional life-sized figures that can be seen but not touched. These hyper-real representations are static and can be viewed from any angle through a HoloLens 2 headset. The headset consists of a plastic headband with visor-like glasses at the front. The glasses flip down over your own glasses, if you wear any, giving a slightly restricted field of view as though through a letterbox. You will be given a choice of earphones to wear with the headset. You can choose how you want to experience the exhibition from the following three options. Option 1. Stationary with audio only and no HoloLens 2 headset. Seated inside the museum exhibition space on a green upholstered House of Commons replica bench and wearing headphones, you can hear a selection of the stories from the exhibition with audio description of the imagery from a stationary perspective. This experience is designed for blind audience members attending without a sighted guide. Option 2. Audio described promenade experience wearing the HoloLens 2 and headphones. This experience is designed for audiences who can navigate an unknown space and who use audio description to aid perception of detail. In this version, you would wear the HoloLens headset and travel independently, engaging with the virtual imagery supported by the audio description. Microsoft offer the following warning regarding use of the HoloLens with pre-existing vision disorders. A small percentage of people have a pre-existing vision disorder that may be aggravated when using HoloLens. Audiences are advised to listen in full to Microsoft's safety information before selecting this option. Microsoft's guidance can be accessed directly in English at bit.ly/MOA HoloLens, that's HoloLens, and in German at bit.ly/MOA HoloLens, that's HoloLensDE. Option 3. Sighted Guide Promenade Experience. If you come accompanied by a sighted guide, you can experience the exhibition with your guide wearing the HoloLens 2 headset. Alternatively, if you let us know that you will require a staff sighted guide when you book, we can provide you a sighted guide. In the sighted guide version, a shared audio feed means that you and your guide would hear the audio together as you travel around the exhibition area. It will help the venue plan for your visit if you can email in advance, letting them know which of the three options you would prefer. The email address is barrierefreiheit@campnagel.de. That's barrierefreiheit@campnagel.de. You can also ask any questions and discuss your preferences in more detail on arrival with the Museum of Austerity host. Once the host has confirmed your access preferences, they will provide you with your chosen equipment. There will always be a host at the entrance to the museum and also another host inside the exhibition space to support guests with any concerns. The exhibition is designed for small groups. There are never more than 10 audience members in the space at one time. Once you have the equipment, you will enter the exhibition space via a short corridor approximately 3.5 meters long. The exhibition space is a plain room with a carpeted floor and white walls, with grey panelling running around the perimeter of the room on the lower sections of the walls. The room is approximately 13 meters long by 7 meters wide. It's symmetrical, except for three small annex areas. This description assumes that when you enter the exhibition room, you are facing north. In the northwest corner of the space, there's a short wall that projects inwards from the long west wall by about a meter. Behind this short wall, there's a narrow corridor-shaped passageway. In the center of the east wall, there's an open doorway leading to a small annex room. On the east side of the south wall, there's a small recessed area. The space is atmospherically but evenly lit, with lighting levels similar to those in an evening living room. Above the panelling on the west wall is a sign made up of large grey letters spelling out the words Museum of Austerity. On the north wall is some signage which includes a quotation from the United Nations Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities from an inquiry concerning the United Kingdom, November 2016, which concludes, "There is reliable evidence that the threshold of grave or systematic violations of the rights of persons with disabilities has been met." On a number of the walls, there is a glossary of terms that appear in the audio. These are mainly examples of Department for Work and Pensions terminology and also some medical terminology. The contents of the glossary are included in the Museum of Austerity full text guide. Throughout the space, close to each of the holograms, there are small folding stools hanging from hooks on the walls. These are available to any audience member who wishes to sit rather than stand to listen to the audio content. If at any point you wish for the host to provide you with a stool, lift your arm and a host will come to assist you. In the centre of both east and west walls are green benches, identical to those found in the UK's Houses of Parliament. The benches are approximately 2 metres long, with no arms, and upholstered in padded green leather. Above the centre of the space hang four Georgian hexagonal-shaped lanterns, and these are also suggestive of the UK's Parliament. If you choose the stationary experience, you will be seated on the bench in the centre of the west wall. If you have chosen the solo promenade experience or are with a sighted guide, you can choose your own route around the space. This introduction describes a clockwise journey around the space, however, the HoloLens 2 will be responsive to your decisions. There are a number of physical objects in the room. In addition to the House of Commons benches, these include, in the south-west corner to the left of the entrance, there's a concrete platform, shin height and about a metre square. In the north-west corner of the space, in front of the short wall, there's a small grey table, similar to those found in UK job centres. In the centre of the north wall is a single green chair with no arms. At the end of the corridor in the northwest corner of the space is an old white fridge. In the far northeast corner of the space, six concrete paving slabs are laid on the ground in a large rectangle. There are two single grey beds in the space, one directly in the centre of the space, and one tucked away in the recessed part of the south wall. In the annex room leading off from the east wall, there is a hospital chair. It's worth remembering that these objects must be walked around, as, in mixed reality, it's easy for sighted people to get confused between what is solid and what is not. If at any point you would like to sit to listen to the stories, you can request a portable stool from the host, sit on the bench in the centre of the west wall, or the hospital chair in the annex room. If you would like to take a break from listening to the stories and hear only music, you can take a seat on the green chair in the centre of the north wall. Please do not sit or lean on any other items of furniture. For those wearing the HoloLens, the space is populated by the eight holographic figures that are about to be described. The figures stay in place for 35 minutes before fading away to be replaced by caption slides telling us their names, when they died, and who narrates their story. This information is included in the following description. On entering the room and moving directly forward approximately 4 metres, you encounter a single grey bed to your right in the centre of the space. Lying on the bed, on his side, facing the west wall, is the holographic figure of a very thin black man, representing Errol Graham, who died in 2018. He's in his late 60s. His body is covered with a soiled white duvet. His eyes are closed. As you move towards the figure of Errol, You will hear his daughter-in-law tell his story. This lasts approximately 6 minutes. Opposite Errol's bed, in the centre of the west wall, is an empty bench. If you wish, you can choose to sit here while listening to Errol's story. As you move away from the figure, you'll hear politicians speaking in the House of Commons. This pattern of audio content continues throughout the exhibition. Moving north, approximately 3 metres, you will arrive at the short length of wall that extends out from the west wall. Standing in front of the wall is the hologram of Sophie Ahmed, a black woman in her early 30s. She's wearing a woolly hat, a white t-shirt with a fashionable face graphic on it, a khaki green short puffy waterproof jacket, grey jeans and trainers. She's leaning on a grey job centre table and appears to be writing on a form to claim job seeker's allowance. It's dated 07/11/14 and signed F. Ahmed. The full text of the form is included in the Museum of Austerity text guide. Sophie died in 2014. Her story is told by her brother, Mo Ahmed. Moving approximately 1.5 metres to the right of Sophie and travelling towards the north wall, a narrow corridor-like annex can be discovered on your left. It has white walls with no grey panelling, which makes it feel more like a domestic space. In the corridor is the figure of David Clapson. He's white, aged 59, but his lined face makes him appear older. He's wearing blue boxer shorts, exposing his tired body. He's leaning against the wall, supporting himself with his right hand. His body appears to be slightly out of balance. He has a confused, dizzy expression. Beyond him, against the wall, is a medium-sized old white fridge with the door slightly ajar. Turning around and travelling approximately 3 metres towards the northeast corner of the space, you encounter a holographic figure lying on the ground representing James Oliver. The figure is lying on 6 grey paving stones laid in a large rectangle set horizontally across the ground. The man is of large build, in a brown checked lumber jacket and old grey jogging bottoms that are slightly soiled. He's wearing old brown walking sandals. One hand clutches his stomach, the other reaches out to grasp a little shopping bag in front of him. His eyes are open, and he appears to be in pain. Near to him is a fallen walking stick and a light-coloured, medium-sized dog that stands staring at him. As you approach, you'll hear an audio track of James's brother, Dave Smith, telling his story. This audio will begin when you're about a metre away from the low-lying paving stones. Moving on from the paving stones and continuing your journey along the east wall, you will reach the second bench, positioned in the centre of the east wall, opposite Errol's bed. A very thin white man, representing Mark Wood, is sitting on the bench. Mark is in his early 40s and wears a burgundy polo shirt. He has light stubble and a grey beanie hat pulled low over his forehead. He's looking to his right, towards the north wall, with a faraway gaze. There's a patterned blanket on his lap, and all around him are large black bin bags. Continuing along the east side of the room, just beyond the House of Commons bench, is an open entranceway leading to an annex room with plain white walls. In the far right corner as you enter is a hospital chair. This real chair is at the foot of a holographic representation of a hospital bed. The head of the bed is angled up with a strip lamp on the wall above it. Sitting up in the bed is the figure of a white woman with her grey hair pulled tightly back into a bun. She's wearing a blue hospital gown. This represents Moira Drury. Moira died in 2015. Her story is told by her daughter, Nicole Drury. Coming back out from the annex room and travelling about a metre immediately to your left, you enter a small rectangular alcove containing a single grey bed. Seated on the bed is a holographic representing a young white woman, Philippa Day. Philippa has dark purple hair tied back. She's wearing a grey vest top and grey, black and yellow Batman-themed pyjama bottoms. One leg hangs over the side of the bed and the other is tangled in a dusky pink duvet. The duvet lies crumpled around her, and behind her is a matching dusky pink pillow. On the pillow, there's a mobile phone and a Coca-Cola can. Another Coke can lies on the duvet, along with a leftover Chinese takeaway box and two toy cars that might belong to a small child. Philippa is holding a letter in her left hand. She looks away from the letter, her expression angry and upset. The contents of the letter, given in full in the text guide, is an appointment reminder for her claim for personal independence payment. It tells her to bring identity documents and warning her that if she fails to attend without a good reason, the decision maker at the Department for Work and Pensions is likely to refuse her claim. Exiting the alcove area and travelling past the open doorway that you entered through, in the southwest corner of the space, you encounter the figure of a woman, Diane Huller. Diane is tucked in the corner, standing on a shin-height concrete platform about a metre square. Diane is white, slim and middle-aged, with jaw-length brown hair tucked behind her ears. She wears a white scarf over a short blue coat, tight jeans and flat beige boots with a bag strap slung across her arm. Her arms are folded across her body and she's squeezing her arms tightly with her hands. Her face looks tense and her lips are tight. She looks anxiously to her right. Diane is the final figure. At the end of the experience, the holograms fade away and are replaced by caption slides telling us their names, when they died, and who narrates their story. Many other caption slides then appear in the near and far distances, representing similar stories that could not fit into the exhibition space. Please note that audiences will not have time to visit and listen to the full audio of every figure in the exhibition during their timed slot, creating a sense of there being many more stories that can be told. The final text is virtual and acknowledges the source of the politician's comments as Parliament TV. Audiences leave the exhibition space through the same corridor they entered through. Hosts will collect any equipment as you leave. After the experience, you are welcome to sit for a while on the sofas. Audiences attending Museum of Austerity have the opportunity to pick up a leaflet that lists the participant families and all the team involved in this production. The contents of the leaflet are in the Museum of Austerity text guide, and a hard copy large print version is available on request at the venue. Details of German helplines and support are on the visitor guide on Kampnagel Theatre's website, should you need them. Thank you for listening to this audio introduction. This event uses new technologies in novel and experimental ways. The creative team are committed to exploring how best to make this work accessible at every stage of its evolution. Feedback about the accessibility of this new medium is essential, and the creative team would be glad to hear about your experience. Please email admin@ett.org.uk with any feedback.